every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, second Saturday of the month, an outdoor living hour, so we are Talking Trees, ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower and Sarah Maitland from Save a Tree. Only 82 degrees right now, only supposed to get to 108 today in the valley. That's not so bad.
That's not bad at all. Anything, we say anything under 110 degrees is gravy.
And you know what's so funny is by the time October comes and it's back down to 108 after it's been up at 117, you're like, what was I complaining about a couple months ago?
Well, the 10-day forecast is set to go way north of 110. So, well, a ways north of 110, which is kind of the cutoff point where we are having a little bit of concern for our workers being out in the heat. 100 degrees is as I said, a piece of cake.
Manageable when you're accustomed to it.
Yeah. You kind of grow into it.
You do. There are two things about 115 degrees. One, they say, and I don't know, that it has to hit that to suck the moisture up to start the monsoon. So it's a good thing for that.
Okay.
And the other thing it's good for is keeping the other 7 million people from moving here that want to move here. 115 is the only self-defense Arizona has. If we didn't have those days, we'd have 20 million people in Arizona.
That's a good point.
Man, well,
I think you're right, Rosie. I think all those people that moved here are going to say, oh, wow, it's hot here.
Yeah.
But there isn't a lot of moisture to suck up. We've had no rain, so.
I know. That sounds like it's kind of a little consolation, is to say, well, it's okay. Endure this 110 degrees because it's drawing in some moisture.
Supposed to draw that moisture up from the Gulf. And you read, you Google, will Arizona have a monsoon this year? And there are as many articles saying we will as there are articles saying we won't. So who's to know? Let's just all pray for a good one.
Well, it was a big tease last year.
Oh, it was horrible.
Terrible. We just got the big buildup here in Phoenix. You see it over the mountains, and it just never could make it down to us. We need some good rain this year.
Well, and our featured tree of the month, the Palo Brea, it's not really sweating it right now.
No. It's a very adaptable tree. Although, interestingly, it's from central Mexico. Is kind of where its native habitat is. It does range a little bit further north into Sonora, but it is a pretty durable desert tree, to be sure. I was interested, too, when I was down in Guaymas and then also in Hermosillo, there's a lot of trees that look just like our trees here, but they got more thorns, a lot more thorns. In fact, there's a biome in central Mexico called a tropical thorn forest. You know, it's actually a habitat that is just loaded with thorny shrubs and trees so dense that you can't walk through them. You know that mountain in Guaymas, that very characteristic mountain, you'll see its profile in
a lot
of pictures.
Yes.
I tried to climb that once. It's impossible.
I thought,
I got to get to the top of that. I set out to hike, and I tried several different avenues to try to get up there. I could only make it up a 40, 50 yards, and I was just in a tangle of thorns.
Wow.
But anyway, Palo Brea is kind of in that family of thorny trees. And I like the tree. Beautiful. It's different than your Palo Verdes in that it has more thorns, but there's another unique characteristic. The angles of attachment on the branches are wider. So it's more angular, it's more architectural. People like it for that reason. It has just a very unique branch structure that is quite striking, and people love it for that reason.
It has a very pretty flower, too.
It does. It's got a beautiful bloom, usually in April. If you have a Palo Brea, you've seen it blooming. Dr. Chris Martin at ASU says for all those benefits of the palabrea, the beautiful green, smooth bark, the unique trunk and branch architecture, there's one drawback, and that is the thorns. And it has such a weeping growth habit, it demands a little bit of space.
Yeah, a lot of people like to put them right in the front yard. Palabreas love to be 100 feet wide. I mean, I know it says 30, but they like 100. And well, they just like to really stretch out and cover their roots and shade their roots.
Our workers often ask for hazard pay when they have to trim these because they are so thorny. And they're very, very uniquely sharp thorns, too. And they'll go right through even leather gloves pretty easily. But yeah, they demand a little bit of space. Unfortunately, if you put them next to a sidewalk or somewhere too close to a street or a parking lot, they're going to be problematic because they're going to be draping down. And it's not just a matter of bumping into a branch. Now you're bumping into very sharp, thorny branches. So often what happens is in a case like that, people will have to start limbing them up and removing all those beautiful architectural branches in the low canopy in order to get those thorny branches above head height, which is a shame because that's sort of defeats the whole purpose of having a beautiful tree architecturally in the landscape and then having to essentially butcher it, which is what Dr. Chris Martin warns against. He says, hey, give this tree a beautiful space in the landscape where it can go and grow and grow to its full height and spread without a lot of intervention on our part in terms of pruning.
Well, as far as pruning goes, you know, it's a tree that if you do little small cuts, it's always wanting to go out. So you can actually trim little and trim little. It'll turn and turn and turn until it gets back out. And if you go into the west side, some of the places along Greenway subdivisions that have palabreas all the way down the road, they're almost spiraled going up to make that clearance. And what we do in technique-wise is to really reach back in and take your cuts a little bit deeper and form new branches. And that's a way of really eliminating that turn.
Yeah, when we do our pruning cuts, if you cut back to a side branch, if you're reducing the length of a branch and you cut back to a side branch, you can choose a side branch that grows in a favorable direction. It's quite nice as you can start to shape your trees and shrubs and get them to grow in a direction that you want. And you do that by selecting those side branches that grow in that either to avoid or to avoid in the tree, to an empty place in the canopy where you need to get that filled in, or to grow in a favorable direction that's away from the sidewalk, away from the roof. And that way you can keep the tree looking as natural as you can, but yet at the same time training it to grow the direction you want it to go.
And you're talking, Sarah, about how it wants 100 feet. It says 30, yeah. But it wants 100 feet to spread out. I'm picturing these being a great canopy for if you're trying to create a little outdoor backyard sitting area under a shade canopy. I had done one with mesquites, and I thought, you know what? If I ever do this again, I'm going to do a Palo Verde because mesquites, you got to trim them like six times a year sometimes, it seems like. You're constantly. But then I've got these Palo Verdes. I'm like, man, you cut them once and they're good for like 2 or 3 years, it seems like.
Well, the sometimes.
Palabrea, it does get pretty tall, but they are considered semi-deciduous. They can drop some leaves, and they're not going to provide that nice, dense canopy that you would have with a broadleaf tree, evergreen that would give you a little bit more more shade. But they are nice and large if you want that filtered shade, that filtered sun. Yeah, good choice. We always are looking out these windows, so you know I look right past Romy here in the studio, and we've got all these Palo Verdes, and they're very, very much like the blue Palo Verde. They have that light green bark, and Palo Verdes will give you a little filtered shade.
I would kind of shy away on a patio because of the stipules, and stipules are thorns that come from the node, but it, you know, you can catch your eye on them real quickly and, you know, scratch your cornea. And
may not be the best for a sitting area, to create
probably
a shaded
not
sitting area.
Because of its widespread, but there's other vase-shaped trees.
Quite a considerable litter drop as well. A lot of blossoms plus the pods.
Well, I should mention, now that I see the phones are ringing, and I haven't even mentioned that, if you'd like to join the conversation, of course, 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com if you'd like to send a picture for a little plant or insect identification. We are talking trees when we are. John always brings in a tree of the month, and we're talking the Palabrea, slightly different than the Palo Verde. Looks very similar, but it comes from, you said, down central Mexico more.
Yep, a little further south than our native Arizona state tree is the Parkinsonia floridum, which is our blue Palo Verde, and this Palabrea is the Parkinsonia praecox, which is just they hybridize very easily too. So a lot of the ones you see here in town are probably hybrids of a mix between the Palo Verde and the Palabrea. So,
and Sarah, you had mentioned that it's got a pretty bloom. Is it the same yellow type bloom that
it's
we get on the?
It's a little bit darker yellow, I think. And it has a clustery type of foliage where it's really close to the stem. And so the branches are more defined.
Yeah, Dr. Chris Martin has a website, and you might want to look that up. Just look up ASU, Dr. Chris Martin. He's got a great resource of trees, and he's got a few pictures and some ways of not pruning the Palabrea. He's got a really crazy picture of a Palabrea that's been pruned terribly. And I think people sometimes get really tired of some of their bigger trees, and I'll see them across town, and I see them just butchered, you know, trimmed really severely. And I'm thinking there's a story behind this terrible pruning job. Someone who's been totally frustrated with this tree, which goes back to right tree, right place. You know, there's every tree, if you give it enough location and space, you want it to be able to grow to its full mature height and spread.